ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Make no mistake about it, today we are being bombarded with worldly things, and instead of fighting, we give in. Don't. Paul in Galatians 5 said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And here's the battle. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. God's given us this victory, but we have to walk. And there's a battle going on between the flesh and the Spirit. And whatever you give into will be manifested in your life. Many today are growing weary in this battle. They're tired of fighting, and they just want this comfortable Christianity where they come to church to fellowship more than to be trained to be good soldiers of Christ and rescue the lost. And in the end, our Christianity becomes a social outlet, just the club we join. They call it fellowship, but really true fellowship is encouraging one another in the work of God and keeping each other accountable in living for Christ. As it says in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. We sharpen each other. I'll share this with you about fighting the good fight of faith and not giving up. We're told this, it's written, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We have passions and desires that maintain the opposite. We have human reasoning that says, this is impossible. Then they will do what they want with me. They will walk all over me," etc. Here we have an exhortation by Paul. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. To commit sin is to consciously do something that you know goes against God's will. This can be in word, deed, or even thought. But alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts." To fight the good fight of faith means that we stand firmly anchored in the word, in the power of the Spirit, reckoning ourselves dead to our feelings and our human reasoning, not letting sin rule in our mortal body by obeying its lust. We have to do what Jesus says, take up our cross daily and deny ourselves. Paul also says the same thing, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live." This does not happen without fighting and sufferings. Peter says it like this, "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Therefore, we must suffer in the flesh if we are to cease from sin. There will be sufferings in the flesh if we, by the Spirit, are to put to death what rises up from the flesh so that the lusts are not allowed to rule. Sin rules and we suffer in our conscience if we do not suffer in the flesh. And I realize that, you know, people think, oh, you're just going overboard with this. You know, it's not such a big deal. Well, turn over to Numbers for a second, two books back, chapter 33. Because before the children of Israel entered the land, listen to what the Lord told them that they were to do. And we're going to pick up in Numbers 33, starting in verse 50, where we're told this. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give an smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, Then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. In other words, we need to be very careful that we don't allow corrupt practices to come into our lives or into the church, because it will affect and infect us with its poison and bring us into captivity, just as it did the nation of Israel. You know, God warns us, and then it's up to us to listen and obey. He doesn't force us to do these things. The children of Israel, they didn't drive out the inhabitants of the land completely. They left pockets of resistance there. They were a thorn in their life, an irritant to them. And the same is true in our own lives. They'll harass us wherever we go. You know, Paul in Romans 6 said, knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. You see, don't allow that garbage to be resurrected in your life. Be free in Christ. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have seen that bumper sticker that says coexist. And the idea is to coexist with other religions of the world, which, you know, Christianity can't do unless it compromises what God has said in his word. But I think sometimes we think we could do it with the flesh. We think we can coexist with the flesh instead of fighting against the flesh, crucifying the flesh. If you ignore sin in your life, if you just begin to accept sin in your life, you're setting yourself up for trouble. Make no mistake about it. We saw what God said to the children of Israel in Numbers 33, and I think he's speaking to us as well. And I do realize that today in the church we have this idea of building up the flesh. Show me in the scriptures where we're to build up the flesh. And I will show you where it says we are to crucify the flesh, to put it to death. You see, there's a big difference. Some say, well, I've done a pretty good job. What more does God want from me? Obedience, total obedience. He knows what he's talking about. And we have a choice. Remember what the Lord said to Moses and the children of Israel. If you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. You don't make a peace treaty with the flesh. You don't compromise. I think it's really clear in the scriptures. In fact, I'll give you a few. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That was the end of Paul's life. He fought that good fight of faith. It was a battle. And it continued to the very end of his life. And he finished the race strong. He kept the faith. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, this is a battle. You know, we want to make the Christian life a playground. But it is a battle out there. And we need to remember that. Fighting that good fight of faith. And notice where the battle is at, or against, our faith. The battle is what you believe. Isn't that interesting? Because there are a lot of people out there today telling you what to believe. And then there's God who's telling you what to believe. Who are you going to listen to? Don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise what you believe. James in James 1:12 said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Enduring temptation, they're going to be out there all the time. So what do you do with them? Do you give in to them, or do you surrender to the Lord and obey his voice? And this battle, I think for the most part, many, many Christians today have no idea where this battle is coming from. They think it's, you know, this political party or this organization or that organization. That's the battle we're fighting against. It's not. Paul in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, tells us exactly where the battle is from. That's why we need to pray. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the Democratic Party. Wait, it doesn't say that, does it? No, it says the wiles of the devil. That's the battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'll tell you what, if you do not think that in Washington, D.C., and the capitals of in all these states that we live in, where government is the seat of the state, you don't think there's demonic forces there, you're fooling yourself. This is a spiritual battle, and it's fought on our knees, asking God to intercede and free those people from where they are going. It's a battle. We have to be wise and stand strong in the Lord. Don't give in to the flesh. Don't compromise your faith. You drive out the enemy. And there's the blessings that come as we serve the Lord, as we take those steps of faith, as we walk as he leads us, trusting him. Unconquered lands, guys. You got to drive out the enemy, crucify the flesh, and make no room for the flesh in our lives. How important that is. Unconquered lands, they're always there. Areas that we need to deal with. Well, look at verse 8 here in Joshua chapter 13. With the other half tribe, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses had given them, beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given them, from Arar, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the town that is in the midst of the ravine, and all the plain of Medeba, as far as Dibon, all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the borders of the children of Ammon, Gilead, and the border of the Geshurites and Maacathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan, and as far as Salcah, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth, and Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for Moses had defeated and cast out these. Nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Maacathites, but the Geshurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Joshua is talking about a portion of land that was divided up between Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh outside of the Promised Land, on the east side of the Jordan River. It was a land that was taken as they defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. And I've called this section, missed it by that much. It's the old get smart thing, right? Missed it by that much. What do I mean by that? These guys didn't enter the Promised Land, the land that God had given to them, the land of Canaan. They were close. The only thing that separated them was the Jordan River. But that Jordan River separated them from all that God had for them. And they missed it again by that much. And that's, again, compromise will lead to more compromise, and it's never a good thing. Why do we think that compromise is healthy for us as Christians? It's not. In fact, the whole idea to compromise is to make concessions or accommodations for someone who does not agree with the prevalent set of standards or rules. The Bible never tells us to compromise our faith. And you have to take a stand. And isn't it hard today when the whole world is going in an opposite direction? I mean, I don't know. I used to use the illustration of salmon swimming upstream, going against the flow of the water. And I tell you right now, in this world we live in, I feel like that salmon. Because the world is moving in one direction, and it's going at a fast, fast rate. And here we are trying to swim upstream. And it's a battle. You start looking around, looking back, you're going to start floating backwards. You got to keep your eyes forward on the goal, on the prize, and the prize is Jesus. You don't compromise what you believe in. One writer said, you know, how do we compromise the Word of God? Well, when we fail to accept the Word. When we place our desires and that of others ahead of the Word of God. God's Word is absolute truth, and we have to accept it. It's not an option. But here, these two and a half tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, are staying outside the Promised Land. Why? Well, the land's great. We've already defeated the enemy. Look at, you know, grass everywhere. We got these cities we just walk into. They're already built. Why not live here? Because God said don't. Did he allow it? He did allow them to live there, but it wasn't his perfect will for their lives. They refused to listen to the word of God. And when the Assyrians came down, they didn't have the protection of the other tribes to help them, and they were the first to go into captivity. How important it is to listen to God's word, what he's told us. It's not there just for us to pick and choose. It's there for us to listen and obey. And here's the thing. A little compromise will lead to more compromise and more compromise. Look at verse 13 here in Joshua 13. Nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Gershurites or the Maacathites, but the Gershurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. When God uses this word to describe or to point to something we did or didn't do, nevertheless, it's not a good thing. Yes, they defeated these enemies, but they left two remaining, and that wasn't what the Lord told them to do. In fact, the Lord told them not even to live in that area. But how many times the Lord tells us, don't go there, don't do that? And go, oh, what's the big deal? It's not going to hurt anyone. Who's going to know? And we miss it by that much, guys. We leave pockets of resistance that will not rise up and trouble us. You don't play with the flesh, you crucify it. You don't entertain the flesh, you crucify it. Galatians 5:24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I don't know if you heard the story about the guy who couldn't decide what side to fight on during the Civil War. He struggled with it. North, South. So he put on the coat of the North and the trousers of the South, and he got shot from both sides. You try to live as a Christian and compromise your faith and live in the world, and you will get shot from both sides. Just the way it is. You can't compromise what you believe. You can't accept the world's standards. We have to have a biblical worldview. People freak out about that. What's wrong with a biblical worldview? Did you ever think about that? What's wrong with it? Love people. Treat people fairly. I mean, I don't see any negative points to it. There's only positive. Now the world's view. Do whatever you want. Oh, Joe, that's so harsh. People don't do that. Are you kidding me? Watch the news. Watch what's going on in the world. People do whatever they want. I mean, here's the new thing. People forgetting they have kids in the car when it's 100 degrees out and they go shopping and the child dies. How do you forget? Are you that preoccupied with everything else you're doing that you don't remember you have a child? That's the world. It's all about me. I don't know if you found this out, but my wife and I did when we had kids. We used to be the center of our universe, and then we had kids. And guess what? They were the center. The focus was them. Why? Because they needed us. But we lose sight of that because it's all about us. It's all about the flesh. I love reading the book of Daniel, because here was a man, young man, who was not willing to compromise his faith no matter how difficult it would be to stand strong for the Lord. In fact, in Daniel 1:8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That's remarkable. This guy was maybe 15, maybe 20 years old at the most, probably 15, at this point, when he was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And what did he do? He stood strong upon his faith, what he believed, the God he loved, which tells me his parents trained him up well in the things of God. And I guess the key is that he purposed in his heart what he was going to do. Have we purposed in our heart the stance we're going to take in the situations we might face? Do we know God's word that as things come our way, we let God's word speak to our hearts? How does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you, David said in Psalm 119. Purpose in our heart. We have to decide for ourselves what we're going to do. Daniel could have said, hey, while in Babylon, do what the Babylonians do, right? Just be like them. It was the precursor to the Rome thing. When in Rome, do like the Romans do. But he didn't do it. He had every opportunity to compromise what he believed. But he didn't. And it didn't matter. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember, they were thrown into the fiery furnace? Why? Because they wouldn't bow and praise the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had made. They refused. And Nebuchadnezzar, he was crazy. And he gave him another chance. He said, hey, look, you either bow now or I'm going to heat up that fire 7 times hotter and throw you in. I love the response of these guys because they didn't compromise what they believed. They basically said, oh, king, we don't know if our God is going to spare us from this fire. We're not going to compromise what we believe. We're not going to bow to any image. That's faith. In spite of what may happen to them, they refuse to compromise their faith. How important that is. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. What are you filling yourself up with? Because whatever you fill yourself up with, that is what's going to be manifested in your life. See, Daniel was a man who was in the world. Man, talk about a pagan society. And yet, the world was not in Daniel. Huge difference. We live in this world. There's no way out of it, right? But don't let the world get in you. And I've used the illustration of a boat. A boat out of water is useless, right? It doesn't do anything. I don't care if you have a big engine on it or not. A boat out of water doesn't perform. But you put a boat in water, awesome, right? What's the problem? When the water gets into the boat. And once the water starts getting in, and more and more and more, it sinks. When we as Christians let a little bit of the world get in, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, we begin to sink. That compromise leads to more compromise. You doubt that? I cannot tell you how many churches and denominations today are standing up for the LGBT agenda. They're for this lifestyle. They don't see anything wrong with it. There is no problem with it. The latest is Bethel. Go figure. Well, you haven't taught the Word of God in how long, so yeah, I guess, you know, that happens. Look at the churches that support abortion. We've had even some leaders within churches go and praise and pray at abortion clinics. How does that happen? Compromise. Are they listening to God? No. They're listening to the world and the world's agenda. They're being conformed to this world. And you look at these churches and they look no different than the world. That's a problem. Another one is, and this is huge, it's even at Christian universities, not all of them obviously, but a lot of them. They don't believe in 6 literal days of creation. And I know you go, oh, come on. What's the big deal about that? That's not a foundational issue. I'm here to say it really is a foundational issue. Why? Okay, that's a compromise. You're denying 6 literal days of creation. Compromise, little compromise, not a big one, but it leads to more. What do I mean by that? God did not create the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days. We evolved over millions of years. There's no Adam and Eve. There's no original sin. There's no need for a Savior, so Jesus never came. You see how that little compromise grows and grows and grows? Does it happen immediately? No. But just like a little hole in a boat, the water comes in slowly, but eventually it'll sink. It's important. A little compromise can bring a tragic ending in our lives. We see that here with those living on the east side of the Jordan River, outside the perfect will of God. They missed it by that much. It's tragic. But they had the opportunity to enter the promised land. They just refused. Did they help their brothers and sisters in the land of Canaan defeat the enemy those 7 years? Yeah, they did. They promised Moses that they would go and help him, and they did. But then they headed back to the land on the east side of the Jordan River. Look at verse 14 here in Joshua 13. Only to the tribe of Levi had he given no inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. let me kind of give you a little bit of information on what's going on here, then we'll make the application to our lives. But keep in mind, the tribe of Levi had no formal land. The Lord was their possession. Yet 48 cities they did live in, spread out throughout the land. These areas had pastures for their herds, and they as priests would be close to every tribe. And the whole idea was God wanted these priests to be near the people of God, to teach them the things of God, to help them in their walk with God. And so they were spread throughout the land.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.